Many people, they worship their work, work at their play, and play at their worship. There was once a mum, and she said to her son, "Come on, son, wake up, we need to go to church." And son said, "I don't need to go to church, so I've already watched a church service on telly." And she says, "That's fine, son, not a problem. When we sit down to Sunday lunch, you can just watch an advert for McDonald's." I love ministering at the 9 o'clock. There's a fire, isn't there, about getting up early. Bird catches the worm, as it says somewhere in the book of Timothy Collins. There's a fire, isn't there, about the 9 o'clock. I love it. It's an intimacy. I love ministering here. Praise God, and thank you, Nana, for that introduction. I shall try my best to live up to it. Have any of you ever carried something and you thought, wow, I shouldn't really have carried that? It might be like a child on your shoulders. It might be you're moving house and a bag you didn't know was going to be that heavy turned out to be heavy. And sometimes it's not even the things that you think, wow, it's really, really heavy, that you can get a glitch in your back. You know, for years, I would always have a rucksack. And in my rucksack was quite ordinary stuff, not heavy stuff, but just like notepad, diary, umbrella, pens, few bits and bobs, odds and sods, things like that. And I'd always carry it like down one, like on one shoulder, like either on the left or the right. And physiotherapists hate you to do that because it basically drags your whole frame slowly. So it's not the weight, it's the angle. And I remember one day I was just moving around some wood in the garden and I slipped a couple of discs. I didn't think anything was wrong at the start, but the next day you really feel it. And you might be like that as well. And I can't be sure that having worn my rucksack on one shoulder like weakened the skeleton and the spine, but I think it probably did. And I believe, you know, God is saying to us that we're often carrying things that we're not meant to carry. You know, when I was praying about the word to share this morning, generally I get words, but I got a strong picture. And Godfrey, do you want to put that picture up? Anybody recognize that? Obviously, it's Jesus, but it's a little bit more detail. Anybody know where that sits, where that rests? Brazil, that's so right. Yeah. Anybody know what the statue's called? It's Christ the Redeemer. And it towers above Rio. And they have like a smaller version. I've been to South America, but I've never been to Brazil. But I've been to Lisbon, and they have like a smaller imitation of it. And that's quite big, like overlooking the city of Lisbon. But the statue of Christ there is seen as one of like the new wonders of the world. So it's put up there, I think, in the 1920s, reinforced concrete, and the arms are 28 meters wide. And it's 30 meters high. So a whopping great statue overlooking Rio. It's obviously, you know, it's quite a Catholic image. You know, for someone like me who was raised like in the Methodist Church, we don't do sort of images so much of Jesus. But it communicates something to me of the power of Jesus. And what God said to me was that his shoulders are broad enough and wide enough to carry every burden that you are carrying. And there's something about give the Lord a round of applause. The shoulders are broad enough to carry all that you and I are carrying. And I love the fact the arm span, or the wingspan, if you like, is almost the same as the actual sort of height of the statue. The shoulders are very broad. And how many of you know when problems rock up on our doorstep, they're not necessarily neatly gift wrapped? and they wait for the other one to disappear before the other one moves in. So it's all a nice little manageable one problem at a time. Problems can be like buses, can't they? They turn up three in one go, and you think, well, I can juggle one or two, maybe even three minor ones, and then someone bowls you another ball, and you've got to keep another ball in the air. And God provides supernatural rest, even in the midst of it. And sometimes when you're in the midst of a battle and you think, you know, God is saying to me to lift up a burden onto him to rest, it can feel indulgent, can't it? If you were fighting the First World War, trying to take territory in Europe, you wouldn't think about sort of setting up a little table in the midst of all the shelling and all the fighting and getting a flask out and pouring a cup of tea. Everybody else is saying, come on, we've got a fight. What are you doing? Helping yourself to a cream tea in the middle of a battlefield. But nonetheless, God has a supernatural command to us to give our burdens to him and to place them on his shoulders. It can be tempting to keep going, but God says, lift your burdens up to me. My shoulders are more than broad enough to take the thing. Matthew 11, 28, 30, it almost could be emblazoned upon this statue, because that's what I felt God was saying. It says, come to me, all you who labor and a heavy laden, for I will give you rest. I think that's one of the most beautiful scriptures in the Bible. Oh, yeah, do the next one as well. Thank you, Godfrey. Yeah, just the next verse there, you had it. Take my yoke upon you, learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. You know, and even given all that Jesus did, imagine all the responsibility that was heaped on Jesus' shoulders, you know, dying for all the sake of humanity. That's more than you or I have ever had to contend with. But nonetheless, he was never stressed. He was never overloaded. He knew how to deal with cares. And that's the way God wants us to be. We heap our cares onto him. And I think God is saying in this time, sometimes seasons are a powerful reminder for what God has already said. And I don't know about you, I'm enjoying the summer weather. It is a reminder that we are in a season of rest, a season of rest. And I want to talk to you about the value of Sabbath. You know, we're entering a holiday period when sometimes we need to withdraw from the busyness of ordinary life in order to conserve our energy and recharge ourselves for the things that God has got. You know, it's tempting, isn't it, when you've got a lot of work. I've got to work 7 days a week. I've got to do not just 6 days, but every day. There's so much to do. And God says, look, I lay down a principle for your good and the good of others, and for the good of me, that you're able to take rest even in the midst of a busy schedule. Can you turn to Exodus 20, verses 8 to 11? And I'm going to the Ten Commandments. Sometimes people feel, oh, that's very old world and New Testament, and aren't we living not according to the law, but according to grace. You know, sometimes I think, well, you know, you wouldn't set aside the commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery. You know, you say to God, ah, I'll give that a rest for a fortnight. I think that's a bit old school. You know, that stuff about stealing, you know, it's terribly old-fashioned, isn't it? I'll have a weekend of stealing and then back to the Ten Commandments like that. And how much importance does God attach to these? You know, God fulfills the sayings of the law through grace, but he didn't invalidate them. And this commandment, in all the Ten Commandments, is meant to be the least burdensome and the biggest blessing. So Exodus 20, verses 8 to 11. I'm just going to read it for you. It says this: remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that's in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it, made it holy. And it's beautiful, you know, the way God lays it down. You know, if God gave himself a day of rest, how much do we need it? You know, are we more important or more able or more intelligent than God? You know, I remember in Sunday school, we would always do the days of creation sort of through the week. And you'd always draw God sitting in a deck chair on Sunday, smoking a pipe, you know, just resting, relaxing back in those days. And I love that because God has ordained the principle of rest, the principle of rest. It says, even the cattle rest, even the cattle rest. No one will do any work for one particular day. You know, if you want to see, Proverbs says, you know, a righteous man treats his animals well. If you want to see an unrighteous man, watch for somebody who beats their dog or beats their horse. That's the evidence of unrighteousness, isn't it? If we're righteous in our household, even the cattle rest. If your output exceeds your input, your upkeep will be your downfall. Shall I repeat that? If your output exceeds your input, your upkeep will be your downfall. The word Sabbath means cease or rest. In Hebrew, we may know it through the Jewish week, it means Shabbat, Shabbat rest. Something's made by God for our benefit. One of the many things that I love about the Jews is just their principle of holding dear to that. Very, very busy sort of in the week, but nonetheless, the principle of Sabbath rest is there. And don't get me wrong, it's not about deifying a day, thinking it's really important. For many Christians, Sunday is actually a very busy day, isn't it? You know, in the Old Testament, the seventh day of the week was our Saturday. And so the early Christians were forced to move their worship to the morning of the first day of the week, day one. And in the third century of Christianity, it started influencing the top people in society. And the Emperor Constantine, AD 321, he changed the Sabbath to a Sunday. So that's why we have this tradition of, you know, Sunday worship as opposed to Saturday worship. So are you breaking God's law, you know, if you work on a Sunday? I believe not. I don't believe that. But nonetheless, the principle of Sabbath is there. Every day is God's day, but it's the principle of working 6 days and having as much as possible a day of rest. So it's not the case ringing up the church and saying, you know what, Sunday's my day of rest, I'm not going to bother attending church today, I'm going to the beach. I don't mean that. But it's the principle of embedding rest into our lives. You know, we often put it off, but we wouldn't do that with any of the other commandments. You know, Sabbath, number one, is a time to rest my body. If you have notes, do write it down. It's a time to rest your body physically. You know, children need rest, don't they? Or they're not fit to live with. We all know what it's like having children at the moment, and it's hard to get them to sleep. It's hot, it's light at night. You know, Victor didn't get to bed one day until like 10 p.m. I went to sleep before he did. And then the next day you pay a price, don't you? Because they're still up the same time, like little alarm clocks, you know. But the principle that holds good for children is the same for adults, isn't it? We need the physical rest within our lives. We need that principle. Number two, the Sabbath is a chance to recharge our emotions. recharge our emotions. That sounds weird, but it's not really. It's an opportunity to recharge what we're doing and what we are. There's once a budgie called Chippy, and I don't know about you, when I'm vacuuming the house, there's always something that I suck up through the vacuum cleaner that I didn't mean to, like an important piece of Lego or something like that. So you have to stop the vacuum cleaner, you have to go through the bag, all the dust and all the hairs, and pick out the vital component that was just sucked up into the vacuum cleaner. And there was once this lady, and she was vacuuming her flat, and she had a very lovely budgie that sang really well. And the budgie had got out of the cage. And as she was doing all the floors, suddenly, oh no, Chippy has been sucked into the cleaner. Oh no, quickly turn it off at the wall, turn the power off real quick, open up the vacuum cleaner, open up the bag, and there's Chippy. He's all covered in grey and mess and hair and balls of fluff and all the rest of it. And he looks so much worse for wear. So, oh no, I'll have to rescue him. Is he alive? Yes, fortunately, he's just saw one of his eyes just blinking. Thought, great, he's all right. So anyway, takes Chippy the budgie, rushes him into the bathroom, under the bath tap, turns the water on, whoosh, gets all the dust off Chippy, washes him down, says, Chippy, I'm so sorry, I didn't know what I was doing there. And gets Chippy, gets the hairdryer on him, gets all his fur just so he's nice and dry, and then puts him back on his perch. And Chippy the budgie just sort of stands there. And eventually, a gust of wind, and he's just blown over. Chippy was never the same again. Say everybody, ah. Chippy was never the same again. And some of us, you know, we're like that. We're sucked in, washed out, blown over. Sucked in, washed out, blown over. And we need that period of rest and recovery so we recharge and renew and refresh and get ready. We need the arms of Jesus, like the arms of Christ the Redeemer statue in Rio de Janeiro, just to lift up things we're not meant to carry and load it onto his shoulders. How many of you, you know, you've been sometimes stressing over a problem and you just think, oh, I just need to work a bit harder on this. And after a period of rest, period of reflection, a good night's sleep, suddenly the solution falls into place. And you think, ah, I can finally think straight when I can rest properly and deal with this thing. You don't get very far, do you, with constantly skipping sleep, constantly forfeiting that principle of rest and refreshment and reflection. You know, how many of us, you know, we're like Chippy. You know, I'm ready to throw in the towel. I'm a bundle of nerves. I'm at my wit's end. How do we recharge our emotions? Through a period of rest. Period of rest. Silences are uncomfortable, aren't they? So you're thinking, has he lost his place? Should I help him? Maybe his Bible's shut. It's weird, isn't it? I work in radio, and our transmitters, if they don't hear anything for a minute, under a minute, they'll start playing some music out. I think something's gone wrong. So if ever we have something on air, where we have like a minute silence, you know, every year, you remember the War Dead, Day of Remembrance, you know, we have to tell the transmitters electronically, don't bring in, you know, green sleeves at 40 seconds, because we want the silence. You know, and we're sometimes like a radio transmitter, aren't we? Think, hang on, I'm wasting time. I must be doing something. Let me check my phone, check the status updates. That period of silence is a most uncomfortable experience. Rest has never been weirder than it's ever been, hasn't it? There have never been more things that can fill our downtime. Doesn't mean that we necessarily needed to sit there like zombies all day. That would not be restful, you know, just staring at your four walls. I don't mean that, but just the ability just to switch off and recharge. Switch off and recharge. The psalmist says, he leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. You know, the Sabbath is a chance to step back, to enjoy nature, and cease to try to change it. Only when we temporarily stop our restless doing can we work out what needs to be done. You know, that is needed. You know, sometimes family and friends are the original department of health. They recharge our batteries, don't they? You know, we've never been busier than we've ever been. But simultaneously, we've never needed to be able to take time out ever before. Sometimes some people are so busy. And our phones can be the worst of it, can't they? I had a preacher and he drew up to a service station. And some people are just welded to their phones, aren't they? And he went to the gents, went to the toilet, and he sees this bloke at the urinals going for a wee, and he's cradling his phone in his ear like this, just like as he's going to the loo. And my friend said, God teach that man a lesson. And anyway, as he's talking on the phone, suddenly the phone slips down into the urinal. That is a lesson, isn't it? You can be too attached to your tech, can't you? Too attached to your tech. The word leisure comes from the Latin word lycia, which means permission. Let's give ourselves time to take time and to enjoy it. You know, God is just as pleased when we leisure as when we're at work. Number three, Sabbath is a time to be renewed spiritually. To be renewed spiritually, we need to be recharged. You know, sometimes I haven't had the time to really take, like, I did an emotional break. But sometimes you're renewed just from reading the scripture, aren't you? Remember one evening, I just read a psalm. I said, wow, it's like I've slept for a week. It's recharged me because the rest we get from God is supernatural. You know, when you keep a day holy, don't rest alone. Don't rest alone. A holy God wants to join us. You know, worship renews our spirit just as sleep renews and refreshes the body. You know, Sabbath isn't just you doing your own thing, going fishing or whatever. Give God the first part of the first day of your week and say, God, I want to be refreshed and renewed by you. You know, many people, they worship their work at their play, and play at their worship. It's all the other way round. It's all the wiring's wrong. We've wired the different things up to the wrong stuff. Many people, they worship their work at their play, and play at their worship. There was once a mum, and she said to her son, come on, son, wake up. We need to go to church. And son said, I don't need to go to church. So I've already watched a church service on telly. And she says, that's fine, son, not a problem. When we sit down to Sunday lunch, you can just watch an advert for McDonald's on the telly. Would that be good enough? You know, sometimes we need the real thing, don't we? The real thing. It's been a blessing just this week, you know, just with the freeing of restrictions. We've been able to meet for the first time as a cell group with some of us face to face. Felt like a revolution. Now, praise God for Zoom and all the, you know, instruments of technology. It's really, really lovely. But there's something special, isn't there, about just the face to face. And we couldn't all be there, but some of us could. And it was a real blessing. You know, just coming together. I don't precisely know all the chemistry of it or the way exactly it works in the spirit, but there's just something renewing and refreshing and recharging that doesn't quite come from the screen, even though tech is an immense blessing. It's really, really helpful. Let us make sure we renew ourselves spiritually. Yeah? Unless we change, it may be too late to undo the damage, yeah? Because people have already suffered. And it's very easy to put off that thing. Ah, I just need to do this one thing. Just got this project at work. After then we're going to do it. Just need to sort of do this. It's just one week. It doesn't really matter. The more we do that, the more we get used to doing that, you know? Matthew 11, 28 again says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." I will give you rest. God says, "I bought rest for you." You know, that comes as part of God's finished work on the cross, doesn't it? I bought that for you. Doesn't mean that we don't go through times of difficulty, times when we are dealing with difficult things, but it does mean that God's principle is that we're not constantly walking around with multiple burdens upon our shoulders. We do learn how to cast cares onto the shoulder of one who's even bigger than us. There was a woman called Monica, and she had a wayward son. He was always drinking and womanizing, and she prayed for him. And he went to university. And she prayed, "God, get my son's attention. Don't mind how you do it, but just do it." And that man became St. Augustine, one of the fathers in the church. And he said, "Our hearts are restless until they find rest in you, Jesus. Our hearts are restless until they find rest in you, Jesus." And some of us, we need to find rest in God before we can rest on the Sabbath. We need to know how to do it, how to do it effectively. We almost need to go back to God and say, "Teach me a habit that I need to learn." Some Christians, their problem's laziness, isn't it? We've all met lazy Christians. The Bible says far more about laziness than it does about drunkenness. You know, listening to church, you think drunkenness was more of a problem. But to be honest, laziness is more of an issue, isn't it? Some Christians, they just need to sort of need a bit of a kick up the backside. Other Christians, they need to know how to rest and refresh, and recharge. Hebrews 12:1 says this, gives us a picture of an athlete. And I love this picture. We've used it a lot in cell and used it a lot for ministry. And it's the picture of an athlete in the Roman world, and he likens the race to the spiritual race that we run. And I love this picture. I love the idea that I'm running my spiritual race with, you know, the Apostle Paul up there in the stands cheering me on, Peter saying, "Come on, you can do it." And I think it's such an encouraging picture where we have God and all the saints wishing us well with our battles. Say, "Come on, you know, it might just be this thing." It's we run our lives for a moment and then we go to glory. And it's this picture of a race. You wouldn't, as an athlete, think, "You know what, before I get in on the race course, I'm going to just get my backpack on, I'm going to get the heaviest pair of boots, I'm going to get some jeans and all the rest of it, and then I'm ready for my race." But some Christians, they get tooled up that way. They think, "God, it's going to be really tough, and I'm taking this on board, and I've got a suitcase, you know, it hasn't got wheels on it, I'll just carry it in my hand, I've got a backpack, and I got my lunch, and I've got two bottles of water in case I run. Now I'm ready." And God says, gives us this picture of what an athlete's like. He says, "Therefore, we also, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." You know, we need the race to do a proper job, don't we? We need that day of rest in order that the other six are truly effective. Otherwise, the more we keep treating every day just one like the other, just passing like, you know, traffic on the motorway, every day is exactly the same, the more our overall level of output dips and dips and dips. We want to be useful in the race, for the whole race and not just the start. You know, God has us in a marathon, not a short sprint. And we need to be people who are able to release our burdens to God. We're not better than God, are we? Sometimes I like to think that I am. Sometimes I think, God, only I can deal with this. You might have the solutions, but I know the people. I know what they're like. I've done this before. I've got the plan. I'm cleverer than you on this thing. Sounds absurd, doesn't it, when you lay it out there like that? But sometimes we have that philosophy, and it runs our lives. And God says, I want you to be able to draw back, that I'm able to get in there and do some work and minister in those things. Can we stand in his presence? I don't know about you, but I specialize in carrying things I'm not really meant to carry in the Lord. And sometimes, you know, caring people carry a lot of cares, don't they? You know, if you don't care, you don't carry those things. But if you are concerned about things, you take things on. And it sounds godly, but it's not godly. And I want you to imagine Christ's shoulders. And that statue was just man's impression of how big Jesus is, you know. It's not the whole truth, is it? It's just a statue. It's just something fashioned out of concrete. But imagine how big Christ's shoulders are in the Spirit, that he can carry the things that you've been dealing with. And I want you right now to unload some of those things. Doesn't mean we can just retire for the night and just say, okay, God, I do absolutely nothing. You can do that. We still got our things to do. We still need to turn up at work on a Monday morning. But the burden of it is not ours. The spiritual weight of it is not ours to carry. What does God say? What does Jesus say? He says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. May that be so. May that be so. And I want you to release onto the shoulders of Jesus those things that have been such a weight, and just say, God, you take responsibility. You take responsibility. And if I don't know how to rest, come into my life and teach me, just as some people need to be taught how to work. If you're a workaholic, you need to be taught how to rest and to be refreshed and recharged and renewed. That we're as effective for Christ in our last year of our Christian life as we were on the first. Father, I pray, Lord, for my brothers and my sisters. I thank you so much, Lord, for the presence of you, Father God, in this house, Father. And I pray, Lord, as we go into this season called summer, it's a reminder, if any were needed, that we need to get your supernatural rest in order to be blessed in you. In you. And just while every eye is closed, I want to give you the opportunity, if you've never before given all your burdens to Christ and asked him into your life. Because until the Lord is really Savior, you can't really rest properly, because God isn't there and God's not real to you. He hasn't come supernaturally alive to you in your life. And just whilst every eye is closed, I just want to give an opportunity. Whoever's here, if you want to give your life to Christ, just raise your hand. No one else will see, it's just me, but I will pray for you. Do that as a step to place Jesus right in the forefront of your life. Not just to be your statue, but to be that living supernatural presence, your Lord and your Savior. If that's you, just put your hand up right now and we'll all pray together. Great, let's pray together. Lord Jesus Christ, I thank you for your love for me. I thank you that you died on the cross for me and that you loved me so much that you didn't want to leave me with all my burdens. I pray for your forgiveness and I pray that you would live in my life this day and forevermore. That every day is your day because I live as your son or your daughter. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Be blessed. Thank you.